You know what we're going to start doing?
Got afraid to ask after that comment.
No, I don't know.
What we're going to start doing is we're going to start recording the shows now.
Like, we'll record them all the way through, but yep. We're going to start them now.
So it'll be like, hey, welcome to the Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
Yeah, we're all
loosened
up. Today
we're
going
to be doing two Negronis, and stay tuned.
Let's
because
do
and
two
then we're going to get all quiet. People are going to be all quiet.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fine podcast of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, gents. Gent Fred and Gent Jason.
That's us.
And here we are, episode 26.
26.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think we're old enough to be drafted now.
Uh-oh.
Into the cocktail army, of
course.
In
that case, Dave's not here, man.
Well, boys, what do we've got on the menu today?
It's Happy Negroni Week.
Yes.
Yes. If it's not this week, it's coming up.
It's June 5th to the 11th.
That's pretty close.
That's yeah. Right. Because by the time this is up, we put these up every other Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
That's our regular scheduled time slot.
That's yeah. That's what it says on my Outlook.
That's yeah. What it should say on your Outlook. So yes, what is it? The 5th to the.
The 11th, I think.
5th to the 11th. It's Negroni Week.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a good time to be out there having one.
And so, spoiler alert, we're going to be doing it.
We're doing it. Yeah, don't. You can't stop us, because by the time you've heard this, it's all happened already.
Exactly. And so you should have it, too. But what is Negroni Week? Are we launching right into it? Here, before we go right into it.
Okay.
How are you guys doing?
Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about taxes again.
That was tax episode.
Oh, yeah.
It was hugely popular that episode.
People thought they were going to tune in for advice on their how to fill out their form.
It did drop off.
Yeah,
right.
Dropped quite off quickly. And you found out.
Well, yeah. Perhaps I shouldn't have called it help with your taxes.
Well, it was a good idea.
Yes, it was. Well, it was a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got on your mind?
No, I just wanted to say, how are you doing?
Oh.
Fine.
Yeah. Good.
You never asked before.
No, I usually don't care.
This is.
I like the new Jason.
I was in Portland. I know, it is nice, though.
Oh, yes, of course.
The caring Jason, not like that other guy.
Now, you did some intensive cocktail research.
Well, I did. Some unfortunate cocktail research. Actually, it wasn't unfortunate. It was great. It worked out well, and I didn't have a headache the next day. I was fully functional.
Mm-hmm.
So, all in all, it worked out well. But, no, I started out just wanting to have a drink in cocktail bars. It's the best kind of bar. And after I had my Severin Sarazak.
Suffering succotash. What did you just say?
Severin Sarazak. Just a second. I wrote it down.
I think he's still drunk.
I think he might be. Holy cow.
It was Saracen's Sarazak.
That's from Harry Potter. That's the villain in Harry Potter.
Maybe it was Severin's. Anyway, whatever.
Severus Snape. That's what you're trying to say.
That's what I had that.
Right.
I had that in the that bar in the Ringler's Annex.
McMenamin's. He actually did some stuff that I told him to do. I commanded him. It was like I had an app that told Fred what to do.
Excellent.
I kept having these great ideas, and I don't even know where they came from.
Yeah. I found this little earbug in my ear.
Yeah, I had to see the doctor.
Yeah, I heard a voice.
He said, this is weird.
I'm going to need that back.
I have to see my doctor about that.
Okay.
But yeah, so I went there and had this, and then the next place, I thought, it's Negroni Week coming up. I should have to do that. So the next fourth, and I was going to have a Negroni slushy, which I'd spotted the day before.
Yes. Where was that at?
That was at Little Big Burger, if I remember right.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a chain down there, but it was in a place called. Oh God, I wrote this when I was when I've been drinking. So
at least you kept notes. I think that's great.
Yeah, Pine Street Market. It's sort of a high end food court in the middle of Hobo Town.
How ironic.
I thought they called it the City of Roses.
Yeah, well, not this part.
Portland.
Smelly Roses.
Hobo Town. Make a note of it.
The edge of the Pearl District. No, actually, it's about a block and a half away from Voodoo Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of edgy, kind of, but there's, you know, high-end restaurants and, I don't know, secondhand stores and homeless shelters. It's all... I'm sorry.
All conveniently located. All
conveniently located next to each other. Mm. But no, it was a great place. I saw it, but we were on our way. We had to drive somewhere, and I'd already had a cocktail not that long before. Mm-hmm. And so having a second one, then getting in the car, was just not going to work out. So we made a plan to come back.
Smart move.
So I did that. But yeah, so I went to Clyde Common, and I had a cask Negroni there, and that was kind of neat. So, we'll talk about the Negronis as we make them, but the casking, it takes sort of the high notes off, and so it takes a little edge off the bitterness and a little bit off of the... it just sort of smoothed it out a little bit.
Nice.
So it was different. It was interesting. Then I had... what was the other one I had? Well, I had the slushy Italian. That was a...
You know, 7-Eleven would do a lot better if they started serving that.
Because I was wondering, how's that going to... Because it's not really that sweet a drink. Well, they added up the sweetness on that a little bit. But it was still... I mean, you could still get the Negroni, the Campari, the gin, and you still got the... vermouth, the sweet vermouth. But it was just... I guess they added some simple sugar or something to it.
Is there a lot to it? In volume-wise?
Oh, of course. Well, it was... the short highball glass, which I like to call.
Is that a Collins glass?
No. So it's the shorter version. So it's about, that big. And for those of you who can't see, it's about 6 inches. What is that? It's a highball.
Right. I think that was about 4 inches.
Let's not get into that.
I'm not going to have to refer to this as a mediator.
I've got some pictures, so I can forward that. So yes. you'll see the slushy, and it was really good. It was tasty, and it was a slushy. The guy I went ready to stand there while he made it. He went over, pulled the lever on the machine, and went.
Whoop. Oh, so he got it in one. Oh, of course.
He threw it an orange slice. He said, "There you go." I said, what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I had a sip, and it was like Negroniville.
Next to Hobo Town.
And then I went to we went to the Teardrop
Lounge,
and there, I think I'm missing one somewhere, but so that was a Negroni that was made with bourbon, so that would actually be more of a Boulevardier.
A Boulevardier. Boulevardier.
Yeah.
Thank God French is your second language.
I had a Frère Jacques. And that was good. They had a raspberry bitter. So they monkeyed around with it a fair bit.
Right.
But it's still the basics were there. The Campari and... the Campari really is the anchor.
Yes.
And people mix around a little bit with the sweet vermouth option and then the booze. And then I had a Espliato.
Wow.
Espliato.
From Harry Potter.
Also from Harry Potter.
That's the name of the spell.
Yeah.
Espliato.
Yeah. So that is a Negroni variation where instead of the gin, you use a Prosecco.
Oh, okay.
It's a sparkling
wine. Yes, I've seen this. Yes. Yeah. How do you spell that?
I'm glad you asked.
Because it's conveniently located.
I'm shaking my head the other way. Espliato.
Right.
And that was really, obviously a little bit more for refreshing, a little lighter.
Right. Now, I've read about this drink.
Yeah.
Do you know about this drink?
I do.
Oh, then you keep going.
No, you go.
No. It's your segment. And then Dave's going to do hockey stories. And then coin on macabre. We're bringing it back.
So I didn't... I didn't write down the name of the bar. It was a bar in Italy. And I guess it was a true story. So it's sometime in the late 60s, early 70s. Basically, they're just cranking the Negronis out. And because they're bartending machines, these guys. They just grab the bottle without looking and pour them. And somebody put a Prosecco bottle where the gin bottle was supposed to be, and he made a couple. And, oh, my mistake. Let me take those back. Yikes.
Right.
My apologies to anybody of Italian descent. automatically. So the people who, let's say they're Canadian, said, no, you made these drinks. I'm sure they'll be fine. And they had them. They said, hey, this is great.
Right.
We'll have more. And so that's how it was born.
And you had one of these? Is that what you
and
said?
And that's what they had. I had at the Teardrop Lounge.
Okay. Wow.
And that was my. That was how I finished it off. Yeah. Wow, what a day.
I think you are missing one, because I thought you and Laura went to four places that day.
We went
day.
To four places.
So it was the McMenamins
yep.
Annex,
yep.
Clyde Common,
yep.
The Teardrop Lounge.
But I had the slushy at the Pine Street Market.
Oh, that's right, the slushy. I thought the slushy was Clyde Common. Sorry. Mm.
No.
I beg your forgiveness. No.
It is granted.
He is the king of Portland, after all.
Yes, the king of Hobo Town.
Yeah,
that's pretty close. And so, but yeah, so it was. Yeah, no, that was a great one. I like that. It was a nice way to finish off my five cocktail afternoon. Something a little lighter. Mm.
Now, Negroni Week hasn't been around for many, many years.
I believe 2013.
Okay,
first year.
Yeah, no, they're really pushing it, the Italians.
So this will be the fourth year of Negroni, and we're on board.
We're there right at the beginning, early days.
And started in Portland, I believe, or started by Imbibe Magazine? Are they the...
Yeah, Imbibe Magazine.
Tales of the Cocktail, which is their... They're sort of the impetus behind that, aren't they?
And Campari is also involved.
And Campari, And Campari also owns Martini and Rossi.
Mm-hmm. And, this whole thing's a fix.
It's all a scam, and I think they have something to do with Hendrick's Gin.
I thought each of these people were craft distillers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
Multinational.
Well, it's actually a charity event. It's Negroni Week was launched in 2013 as a celebration of one of the world's great cocktails in an effort to raise money for charities around the world. So from 2013 to 2016, Negroni Week grew from about 100 participating venues to 6,000 venues around the world. And to date, they've collectively raised nearly $900,000 for charitable causes.
Do I have to chip in?
We're
doing promotion for
them.
We bought Campari. Hopefully, they're going to kick in a little bit of extra money.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah,
And I saw somewhere. I think it said that it's in 42 countries are participating in this or something. I didn't even think there were 42 countries.
There's a couple extra in there.
Yeah,
it can't be right.
But if you want to find out more, go to NegroniWeek.com, and they've got all the information, some recipes.
Will there be a link on our something page?
If I remember, I'll put it up there.
And I'll put a link on the blog page.
There you go.
There you go.
Which is?
GentlemenOfElegantLeisure.com.
Yes. Or visit us on Instagram at Cocktail Podcast.
There you go. There's many ways to find us.
Yes.
We're all over the place.
And please, I got to beg right now.
Are we going to... Is this it? Is it over?
No. I just
got to... beg!
No? Premature as always, Fred.
Oh.
I'm going to beg now, and I'll beg later. No. Leave a comment. If you're listening to this on iTunes, give us a star rating or give us a comment, because we want to know that you're out there. We've done 85 of these shows. Only 26 since we have the microphone plugged in. So
it took us a while to master the whole podcasting concept. Yeah, but I think we're on a roll now.
Yeah.
I think we are on a roll now.
We're getting almost all of them.
And we've grown up enough that we're going to do a couple of Negronis.
Yeah, no, exactly. So the Negroni, it's an old cocktail. It goes back, comes from Italy, despite there's some pretender trying to say it came from Senegal, and it was a French cocktail.
Really?
Bunch of hokum. But anyway, it goes back quite some time. Started out as the Mito from Milano, Torino. Which was from where? Campari is from Milan.
I think there is a lot of vermouth things come out from that.
Campari is from Milan.
Right.
So
is that why it says Milano right there where you're pointing?
It's in there somewhere.
All right.
And this is from Torino. So this is the first drink. It was just these two together. And then came the Americano, which, despite what I told you before, is probably... They're not even sure. Even the people from Italy aren't sure why it was called the Americano. They think maybe because Americans didn't like the Mito, they added soda to it.
Right.
And so that became the Americano. And then somewhere along the way, around 1920, in a bar in Florence, Cafe Giacosa. Am I doing this? Am I doing this now or are you doing this?
No, you're doing great. Keep going.
Are you checking, making sure I'm getting it right?
No, I also have some information, and I'm seeing how much of it adds up. But I think so far, so good.
Oh, okay. What am I missing? Did I skip a part?
No. My little blurb comes in Florence in 1919.
Yeah.
Cocktail was born when an Italian bartender responded to a customer's demand for a stiffer drink.
There you go.
And got rid of the soda and added gin.
And that somebody was Camillo, bless you, Negroni. Bless you wasn't his middle name. Camillo Negroni was
Count.
Count. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so you got to have that in there.
One.
Two.
Counts.
Oh, Fred. Who are you kidding? You were 37 when Sesame Street premiered.
I loved it.
He wasn't. I'm lying, folks. 13.
Way too old. I can tell you that.
Hey, it had the Muppets on it. Jim Henson's stamp was quality.
Exactly.
Right. Count Camillo, Camillo. Count Camillo Negroni.
Yeah.
Count Negroni.
Mm.
Why aren't? How come you guys aren't counts?
I need to do something.
Oh.
I think that's it.
I'm Irish.
Or be born into.
We're very Republican in that way.
Aren't you layered?
Yeah. We did away with the whole.
You don't like the monarchy in Ireland. You got some issues with them.
Yep. I had a big fight with them.
Oh, those English. How'd that go?
Well, for the first 1,000 years, not very well. I think the Irish actually only won 2 battles against. In fact, I think the Irish actually did better against the Vikings than they did against the English. So over 1,000 years, the Irish won 2 battles.
Oh.
And they finally got their independence, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Now they can just get back at the Vikings for all the nonsense they perpetrated.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so the magic trio for the Negroni. There's your Campari.
Oh, thank you.
That's going to sound great.
Yeah, this stereo. Is like fingernails going across a blackboard.
I was just pulling some stuff closer to mix the drink up while we were still giving out information. What else have you got on that? I'm going to throw ice in here while you're...
Okay, well... So that's the original Negroni, and then that's obviously what we're going to make, and then we're going to make a variation. But what these guys are big on, and it's I guess partly because it's the good kind people at Campari, is they're big on the variations. And so they were at Tales of the Cocktail in Mexico. They were talking about rum, bourbon, rye. If it's rye, it's called old pal. There's the cocktail Cardinale, where you use a dry white vermouth instead of the red vermouth, which is something apparently you can get at the Vatican, or in Vatican City, not in the Vatican.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you never know. If you literally looked.
I'm sure if the Pope wanted a Negroni, he could have whatever he wanted, or a Cardinale cocktail. One comment that came up at this discussion is a lot of the craft guys, the craft cocktail makers, because they like to make their stuff like, you know, the straight goods, the real thing, still do sometimes make a Negroni without ice. And these guys, the good people at Campari, and the guys that were hosting this, like actually the people that wrote the book on the Negroni, say no, always with ice. Always with ice. Any of the Negronis or the Negroni variants, there's always ice in there to mellow the drink out because it's very strong, very bitter if you don't do that.
Right.
And they said that anybody who didn't use ice should be boiled in their own blood.
Well, you know, they've got...
Or something like that.
That's how old a drink it is.
Very strongly about it.
Yeah. Well, we've got ice in ours. Look at that ice. Oh, that's lots of ice right there.
And Dave was quite excited when we found out that we were going to be doing the Negroni, because he says, yeah, Fred made that one that time. And I said, that was the Bufala Negra.
Yeah.
He said, I like that. I said, well,
I'm in for a shock, apparently. Yeah.
This is not like the Bufala Negra. Although, I want to make another one of those, too.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. No, it was a crowd pleaser all the way around.
And so to make the Negroni, it couldn't be easier.
Yeah.
An ounce of Campari, an ounce of gin, and an ounce of sweet vermouth.
Yeah.
Stir it with ice, pour it in a cocktail glass,
and
Bob's your uncle.
Yep. Hit it with a bit of citrus, a bit of orange. There we go. It's a stirred drink.
It's a stirred drink, so it has the second favorite ringtone.
Yep.
And we'll give it a good hand to chill it.
It's a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio. That's the classic Negroni.
Right. And that's why it's
I guess it screams out for variations because of its simplicity.
Yeah.
Up this, down that, change this, which is what we're going to do with our second one.
Yeah. So the Campari is the Campari traditionally is the anchor.
Did they say what they aged the one in Portland in when they did it in a cask?
Oak barrel.
With like a charred oak barrel?
Nope,
or?
Nope, white oak.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to trademark that?
A little...
Okay.
See, doesn't that Hawthorne strainer fit nice on that?
It does.
I bought the two separate... I did not buy them together.
And I think that's the beauty of the Hawthorne strainer. Folks, if you need a strainer, get yourself a Hawthorne strainer. Because they're sort of... They got that spring on the top, which made them adaptable to different... size mixing glasses.
Rectamundo.
How does that look height-wise, guys?
That looks about right.
That looks...
Excellent. Happy Negroni week, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And so the idea is you go to the bars that have the Negroni in it, and just going to throw the wedge in?
Just throw it in, and the ice, because, you know, you have to have ice.
Yes, of course.
The ice thing going there.
Yeah.
The ice goes into the...
Yes.
Is that what we were saying?
Yes.
I thought it just meant that it had ice involved in the chilling of it.
No.
Because any picture I've seen has never had ice in it.
That's wrong.
Really?
Yes.
All right, folks.
You heard it from the source.
I can't say that I approve of this, although that's the sort of thing I would do at home. There will be ice in every one of these.
The guys that were the Campari people and the Martini and Rossi people were... Adamant.
Adamant.
They went almost berserk when they asked the crowd of people at Tales of the Cocktail, who are all professional bartenders, so, how do we serve it? And there's silence. No, come on, people. How do we serve it? With ice or without ice? And they wouldn't answer. He got apoplectic. Come on!
Come on! Well, all right, so we have... This looks like a fine drink. This is an amazing looking drink.
Yeah.
I love the color of this drink.
Mm-hmm. See, and you get that...
I love the smell of the drink.
That citrus mixes with it, so it makes you think you're going to get a nice big glass of Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not Kool-Aid.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy Negroni week. Go to one of your local bars and order this.
Mm-hmm. And help a worthy cause.
Oh.
So wow. That's grown up.
That's what I was saying today. This is one of your grown-up drinks.
Yeah.
You can't come in on this. If you've only ever had Coke...
You won't find this at a frat party.
That's right. If you've had vodka and 7-Up, if that's your idea of a drink, I'd love you.
You might, yeah.
Who am I to shit your cornflakes? But this is a thinker drink.
But it's got some sweetness from the sweet vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
But the Campari says, hey, and there's a little bit of bitterness as well from the vermouth. But
yes, because the vermouth is not...
It's got sweetness and some bitter, but the Campari, it's like... Mmm.
And I'm so proud of you, Fred. Fred has come such a long way.
Yes, he's...
He's horrible.
He used to be the black sheep, but now I think he's our favorite son.
Yeah, I think he is our favorite son. Because he used to not like vermouth at all.
No, he poo-pooed the vermouth, did he?
And I don't know if I've got... Are you drinking straight vermouth yet?
No.
Oh,
no.
You could have drink straight vermouth.
Yeah, right. Well, I got enough of it, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The other day I was thinking, God, I'm better than Fred. I'm going to have a glass of straight vermouth.
Yeah, well, you still might be better than me.
And I thought, when I see him for the show, I'm going to tell him that he should be drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was reading Booze Hound to get my... Negroni background going on.
Yep.
And I forgot where I was going with it. But anyway, he was mentioning sort of the history of it as he was traveling around, and how when you would order a martini, for example, in Italy, you will get a glass of vermouth because martini makes the vermouth.
Yeah.
Well, I find that when I took the first sip and I went, ooh, wow, that's strong. But after the first sip, the second, it started getting smoother really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right.
So it's not as it's not as harsh as the first sip might indicate.
No, I think people forget that.
Now we're going to get you smoking.
Of course, yeah. Yes,
people equate bitter with bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they don't in Europe. And some people think sour is bad. Like, the only thing that's good is sweet. But your tongue is designed to pick up all these different flavors, these tastes. And enjoy that. That's bitter is not a bad flavor. It's just different.
It's like life. Yeah. There's ups and downs, and it's all really? The grand tapestry. Yeah, have you had your downs just
ups.
Yet?
Nope. It's all up.
Oh,
straight
dear.
Up. What?
Anyway, huh? The next 10 years are going to be rough on you, my friend. But you're right. It's the European thing. Mm. North Americans, we're such slovenly wuss creatures.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Well, the craft cocktail guys have really cottoned on to this stuff. I mean, they're all about the bitters. The craft bitters, you know, people are making, the restaurants and cocktail bars are making their own bitters, mm-hmm. which I will now that I've had to buy some. Holy crap, they're expensive.
Mm. You got to wait for donations.
Yeah.
Which we would also gladly take.
Mm, yeah.
Anybody in front of the bitter local guys, the Bitter Truth.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Sponsorship opportunities are available.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're lovely and we're thirsty.
And very grateful. Mm. But yeah, no, this is good. I like it. I do remember when we were in Europe, I had a martini and it was, they said it's a James Bond martini or something like that. And it was, I think 50% vodka, and it was just 1-to-1 vodka and red vermouth.
Right.
I spit it out.
Because you just weren't prepared for it, right?
I wasn't. No, I was looking for, I was, and I still love to drink a nice dry vodka martini, mm-hmm. twist of lemon. Mm-hmm. It's my go-to. Where I used to be. Now I don't have a go-to anymore because I'm doing something different all the time.
I know. That's the sad thing, right? Same with when I do barbecue recipes. Mm-hmm. I'll say, that's fantastic. It's a shame that there's infinite amount of other ones that I want to try. Are you going to go back and make that again? I'd love to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But are you going to? I don't think I have time. Mm. What year is it?
Yeah.
I can't.
No, I just done the math. It's not coming around again until after I'm dead.
Mm. No.
But yeah. So how about that, eh?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? I'll make that when I get home, I think. Oh, you really should only have it before. It's considered an aperitivo.
Were you going to say aphrodisiac?
He was thinking it, but
didn't want to say it. Why do you always think I'm going to say that?
I don't know.
Afro.
Because of your hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's you got to get a haircut.
It's just a tight perm, folks.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. And then just a wedge of lime. I said lime and lemon, but it's actually an orange.
Yes.
Third time lucky.
It works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, no, it goes right. You really should have had something to eat before I got here.
What color is a blueberry?
Red. Yeah. Wait a minute. No.
It's watermelon colored.
On the outside. Fooled you. Yeah, just a chunk of orange in there. Mm-hmm. I've seen it done with a peel. You can just do a peel, but...
Well, the second one we're going to do is only going to have peel in it.
It's got some peel.
Sex appeal.
Oh.
So it's the real aphrodisiac.
That's so right. What are we up to next?
Well, because of what you said, but not because of what you said.
No.
In relation, not even, what you said was true, and this... Uh-huh.
This proves it?
This proves it. That's
oh.
Right.
I was right.
Ding, 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 ding. Fire off the confetti cannon. In the Booze Hound. Do you have Booze Hound?
No.
Oh, I'll lend it to you.
Okay.
And to you.
Okay.
And to you, folks at home. Write in and you'll get on our mailing list. I only have the one copy. It might take a while to come around to you. Mm-hmm. He was talking about... He was a spirits writer for... Ooh, I'm sorry, Jason. I forget what the hell magazine you worked for. Anyway, so he tried all sorts of spirits. And he was like the wine guy. You know where you're going to sample 10 wines and then write your stuff about it. And he was he's the correspondent for that. And he loved Negronis. Mm-hmm. And he decided, after doing a particular trip, I think is what he said, he wanted to go back to his classic drink. He drank a lot of them in his 20s and he really enjoyed it. And he made it and he went...
Not as good as you remembered?
Not as good as he remembered, but he was a little bit scared. Because I think we all get, when we sometimes get to places in our lives where we've done a lot of one thing, that now it doesn't really excite you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he thought he broke his mouth, basically.
Yeah.
He had so many other wild drinks. He said, has it now spoiled me?
Mm.
And so he went off on a journey of changing things, whether it was the bourbon version of it, which is the Boulevardier,
yep.
or whether it was the Sbagliato, I forget how we're saying that is, but with the Prosecco instead of the gin, and it opens up to all these variations. And so because we always do two drinks, I want to do a variation of the classic one, and because I purchased this bottle of stuff that I don't know how to pronounce.
Suze?
We're going to call it Suze, but I think it's actually, I think it's probably Seize or Size is probably how you would pronounce it.
Where's it from?
France.
Doesn't your wife speak French? Couldn't she help you out on that pronunciation?
I think it's Suze. If there's no accent over the E,
yeah.
I think you're
Suze. Yeah, I am, but it's just, well, maybe it is. It just seems to seem too easy.
It does. So write in, people. Are you going to be out there?
There's no accents. There's no nothing. But it's Sèvres d'autrefois, which I did ask you what that meant.
Yes.
And I forget. I think it's like so something special. Otherworldly.
Mm.
Of another kind.
Okay.
And so this, I wanted to get this because I'd read that it was going to be involved in a drink called the Jupiter Disco, I think.
Oh.
Which I made, and it was good.
Yeah.
But it's another, it's a bitter from France.
Mm-hmm.
Gentian root is its big flavor.
Right.
And people say, oh, what does that taste like? And I say, I don't know, but I've tasted it in this, and so I...
Well, gentian root is in Campari, and it's also in these red vermouth.
So if you were to taste all three of those and go, oh, these taste similar, that's gentian.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because I think Campari has rhubarb, I can't remember all the stuff.
Vermouth has wormwood.
Yes.
Which is why it's, because that's what vermouth means or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. God, we learn so much. And you learn too, don't you, dear audience?
Mm-hmm.
Dear readers? Anyway, so this one, I found this recipe. I don't know, this one isn't that old. This is from a fella named Wayne Collins, who is a big deal in the cocktail circuit.
Oh, good.
In London.
Mm.
Nice.
And, like a huge. He's a god.
He's really?
Yeah.
Is he like extra big?
I don't know. He looks
like Thor?
No, but he looks healthy.
Oh, okay.
Healthy in a British way.
Oh.
Mm.
A good fleshy face of the British peasant. I don't know.
Wow, I don't think he's gonna like that at all.
Stout of fetlock.
He might like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. Something from a Jeeves and Wooster, I forget.
Not like a nice stout fetlock. Isn't that
he's a Cockney guy, apparently.
Yep.
And he mixes drinks.
And what's...
this is called the White Negroni.
Okay.
And in it is going to be a gin, Lillet Blanc.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because it's a fortified wine.
Yes. So it's taken the place, I think...
Of the vermouth, isn't it?
Yes, it's taken the place of the vermouth, and the Suze, Size, Seize, Suze, Suze is going to be the Campari.
Right.
And then for this gin, we used Hendrix in the
Negroni. Classic Negroni.
We'll use the Bombay Sapphire just to shake things up a little bit.
Sure.
And spread our product placement around in the hopes that somebody gives us free booze.
Yeah.
Please, or money.
No, we'll take money too.
And then so it's going to be combine the ingredients in a mixing glass again, not shaken. Stir to chill, strain into a chilled glass, and garnish with a lemon peel.
Ooh.
The White Negroni. So this will be neat to see what we can do with a different bitter element. Too, although Lillet is not so vermouthy. It's more, people say it's fruity and citrusy almost, which I think is generous.
People like that, yes.
I drank it straight the other day.
Did you?
That's probably when I was thinking that you'd come a long way, baby. and it's fun just to learn how to pronounce all these things, which is why I wish I knew what Suze was. Suze. Now, why don't we say it like that? Suze.
Suze.
Huh?
Okay.
Suze.
Sure, from now on. Suze.
This is une bouteille de Suze.
Bouteille.
Saveur d'autrefois. Gentian root. Is in e.
He said that to my dog.
And he's now left his chair.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get a fresh mixing glass.
Oh, fancy. Oh, you got the...
I got the... The complimentary. What's that there, Freddie?
That's more stuff on Negronis.
Well, tell us a bit about a Negroni so people don't have to hear me dump ice into
the
drink.
There's some of the variations, but there's the Negroni Bunga Bunga.
Oysters?
I think so. Campari, Ruby Port Wine, Galliano, inspired by God, I can't.
It's got pork in it?
Maybe.
What was that one, the New Orleans one that we were joking about earlier?
The Zingaro.
The Zingaro.
Yeah. Port wine and gin. just doesn't sound right. It didn't really taste right.
So these are from a bar somewhere. This is from the Tale of Negronis. Tale of the Cocktails.
See, it works. This could be effective at home.
Yeah.
Why have you not made one of these already at home?
The Negroni Magnifique. So it's gin, Campari, a dry vermouth, and absinthe. Wow, that'd be that'd get
a
you going.
Wormwood festival. There.
Yeah. The Negrowski, vodka, Campari, and red vermouth. A favorite of Robert De Niro, it says.
Hmm.
So who knows? Maybe it is.
Negrowski? The big Negrowski.
Yep. The Negronino, which is gin, Campari, Cyanar.
Yes, we have to find out. That's that the one. Artichoke based on yeah. bitter.
Red vermouth and cucumber.
Interesting. Oh.
I love the sound of that.
It's magical.
There's a whole bunch in here. This is great.
Good. We need
Negroni Sombrero, tequila, Campari, Antiqua Formula. Oh, that's the hard, expensive stuff. And the Mozart Dry Chocolate Spirit.
Chocolate?
Yeah. Now, supposedly the chocolate goes quite well with the Campari, the bitter, because they said the mind thinks when it smells, it tastes cocoa, because you're used to it being chocolate. You think sweet, even though it's not sweet, and so it actually helps mellow the bitterness. It's just a mind thing.
Really?
Tricks your brain.
And there's a one of the things that I was researching, but we can't get it here easily. Legacy Liquor Store has it. It's called Cochi Americano.
Yep.
I think it's Cochi. Oh, the Cochi Cochi.
That's my favorite drink.
Charo owns the company.
Cochi Cochi, but
and
I've got some Sheena Sheena coming.
Sheena Sheena.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the Cochi Americano is the closest we can get to the Kina Lille.
Oh.
Back when it had quinine.
Quinine?
Yeah, but it's not pronounced that.
Yeah, quinine.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's the same stuff that's in tonic.
Yeah, but it's not that.
Quinine.
No. That's your bastardized English pronunciation.
Well, that's where I was raised. The bastardized is
English. That's right. You're right. We're three bastards.
Yeah. But the little we get now, this little does have quinine in it.
Did they put it back in?
They put it back in.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay.
I double checked.
With?
The internet.
Ah. Thank God, because...
You thought it was going to be a resource that wasn't reputable. No, they just started making it, and I wanted to make sure because there's an American version that's lighter that doesn't have it. But this one, because we're not in America, technically.
Right.
We've got the quinine version. I think it even says it on the label now.
Well, we'll have a check out of that.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Just to mess with the stereo.
Oh, sure. Mess with the stereo. But look at that. This is a pale yellow drink. And let's give it the little lemon peel. I'm going to give it a little squeeze to get the oils in there. And then we're going to put that in.
It says so on the back.
Oh, good for you. Excellent, because they stopped putting it in there, I think, in 86, somebody said.
You guys want to refresh your palate?
Oh, yeah, peanuts? Let's have some salted nuts.
Well, cleanse it before we try the new drink.
Mm-hmm. Nuts to you?
Nuts to you. The white Negroni, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, I will have some. And you, at home, if you're listening and you have peanuts handy, have some peanuts. Sounds like this. Mm. Oh, sorry, Davey.
That's all right. Just got to take my old picture here.
Let's throw some Sue's down there behind it.
It's a photo. Oh, that's right. It's a photo op. Now, this looks quite different because Negroni with the red vermouth, if you will, and the red Campari. And the clear gin comes across as a red drink, reddish or orange.
Yeah.
This is definitely yellow.
Yeah.
The Suze is quite an alarming neon yellow.
Yeah. No, it's. I'm surprised how bright that is.
Man.
All right, gentlemen.
And so it makes a nice little friend, actually. They're quite a colorful little couple here.
Aren't they a nice little pair?
I was going to say that it looks, you know, when we did our episode on Applejack, mm-hmm. this looks more like what an Applejack cocktail, coloring-wise,
yeah.
you think would look like.
Because exactly. the other, it's got a bit of a greenish-yellow tinge.
Kind of looked more orange.
Right.
So the nose, it's...
It's, I want to say it's drier on the nose, but I don't know why I say that it's drier on the nose. Do you get gin on the nose?
Nope.
You will if you put your nose in far enough. Wow. Holy cow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely different. Yeah. Starts out doing one.
Yeah, it's lighter. It's got a lighter taste than the first version.
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, you can tell it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. It still plays on the bitter part of your tongue.
Yeah,
I'd say it doesn't have the feeling that it's as sweet, but I think it is.
Yeah,
because it's a mild. It's still mild.
It is mild, like it's. I almost.
But it's herbal. I mean, it's got a lot of layers to it.
I think I want something to stand out, though, and mm-hmm. I don't get a little peak, which is maybe a good thing. But yet, I kind of feel like I want
a. It's a little bit like what I got when I had that casked Negroni,
right?
Where it sort of shaved the peaks off.
Okay.
And it just makes for a milder, mellower drink. Wait, if you go back to back.
If I go back to back.
I don't find it mellower, but it is different than the first. Negroni.
How do you like the watered down Negroni?
The Negroni with ice in it has a time limit.
But now you're getting more of the flavors and less of the boozy hit.
Yes.
But, yeah. Oh, that's right. You didn't put ice in this.
Oh. No, this one doesn't call for ice.
Yeah.
It's not a... This is the white Negroni recipe from Wayne Collins in London, for God's sake. Combine ingredients in a mixing glass and stir to chill. Strain into a chilled glass and garnish with a lemon peel. Strain.
I'm reporting him to Campari. Well, of course, he doesn't even use Campari.
He doesn't even use Campari. Exactly. He thumbs his nose at the Campari people.
The Negroni Association of... maybe not.
One of the blurby things I was looking at about Negronis, and Negroni Week in particular, so not really in particular, was Jeffrey Morgenthaler. Or Morgenthaler.
Yep, I've seen that name.
Now, he's the guy at Clyde Common that's putting them in casks.
Right.
Is he still there then? Was that...
There was two ladies behind the bar when I was there.
That's Jerry.
What?
I don't know, I'm just kidding.
Could be. Who's to say?
And his name is Jeffrey.
I don't think either of these ladies were Jeffrey. They're both very good, I have to tell you. We sat right at the bar and watched them do their thing, and it was like... Holy cow.
It says that he not only devised the barrel-aged Negroni. This is Wikipedia, so this is... This is edible. Editable. Oh, dear. I have an editable complex.
It works.
Devised the barrel-aged Negroni, now a widespread recipe, but also began to experiment with oaking other concoctions. We always have two barrel-aged drinks on the menu. Did you notice there was another barrel-aged drink when you were there? You weren't even there.
I just jumped right on it.
We get tourists coming in specially for that drink. We don't take it off the menu. And there's a woman named Charlotte Voici. She does an unusual Negroni.
Which is what it's called?
That's right. It's called the unusual Negroni. Yeah. Which has Hendrick's gin, which is what we used in our first one. Mm-hmm. Hendrick's is the one that has a little bit of cucumbery flavor to it.
Right.
But she uses Hendrick's gin with Aperol in Lillet Blanc. Sorry, you don't pronounce the C. Lillet Blanc.
Lillet Blanc.
And, Aperol, or Aperol? I don't know. Run it through the idiot filter. And this guy goes on to say that it's the fish and chips for the British. It's like fish and chips for the British, the way Campari is in Italian culture. And I would believe it. I regret on my trip to Italy... that I didn't drink more. There you go. I knew I'd seen it recently.
I grabbed the guy's card out of the jar.
You got
it's Jeffrey Morgenthaler.
There you go.
I got his business card. Right?
And there I proved that I was there.
Yes, I guess you have.
Bastard.
What were you saying? Your trip, though. Sorry. I think it's our sponsor.
That's right. You said the secret word, and win the prize.
If that's Campari, yes, we're available.
I'll take a case.
Yeah.
On your trip to Italy, you regretted not drinking more.
My ears! Somebody get that phone!
There's a picture of my frosted slushy Negroni.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll put that up on our Instagram account, won't we, Fred?
Huh? Very nice. Doesn't look frosted or slushy.
Well, no. It's...
If you keep it for a week, it looks like a regular drink.
So you get... Oh, how do you turn off the volume when you've got the volume? I've got a video of it.
Well, send it along and I'll post it on our Instagram.
Otherwise, we're just going to hold the video very close to the microphone and see if you can glean through Braille.
But it's funny, I turned the sound off, but you can hear the sound when you play a video. Thanks, Apple.
That's Apple for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sticking with my Android.
Or thanks, Apple. You want to be our sponsor.
Exactly. We're looking forward to the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Yes, there's this happy hour, especially in Milan, I guess, right? They call it happy hour. But it's not like our North American happy hour with cut-rate drinks.
Mm-hmm. It's Europe. There's no cut-rate in Europe.
They actually jack the price up a little bit.
Mm.
But people go there after work, before dinner, and long into the evening then.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a slightly bit of a premium.
Right.
You get your bittered drink of some sort, Campari, vermouth, whatever you're going to have. But there's also complimentary then... feast of the snacks to have. And they're not peanuts.
No.
They're prosciutto wrapped this and that. Mm. And little bits of flatbread. Tiny pizza kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you hang around. And this makes sense. It almost appeals to me, and yet I'm not this, because I am not a fashion person at all. In fact, I'm still wearing the clothes I had as a child.
I know, it's awful.
Awkwardly tight.
They are awkwardly tight. But the ladies like it.
No, no, no. You had me a prosciutto. I don't care what they're charging. I'm in.
Yes, exactly. But because Milan is such a fashion...
Mm-hmm. Fashion capital.
Capital. It allows you to be seen in what you wore, right?
Mm.
So, think of it, whether you put on a suit or something and go to your office job, and then all of your lunkhead friends at the office see you in your suit.
Who cares?
And then you come back home and you get out of it and you get into your sweatpants and stuff and drink a beer on the couch.
Is that what you do?
That's what I do.
Mm. I stay in my suit all evening till I put my pajama suit on.
Well, that's because you're
Real gentleman of elegance.
Yeah. Cool.
You never know when you're going to have to solve a crime with your lovely wife.
I know. We jump in the convertible and off we go.
At the thin man?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Heart to heart?
Or heart to heart.
Either one. Same show.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the idea. So now, and of course, it's so lovely in Italy, right? Yeah. So now imagine you have your job that you've worked at for 3 hours or whatever outrageous work day the Italians have. And now you go to the bar, and now you're having snacks, and you're with your friends, and there's very little table space. You just sort of spill out onto the sidewalk and fountains.
Like in London.
Yeah, people stand up. Yeah, they stand out on the street.
Yeah. And so you can be seen right, for a couple of hours. People could say, I know I didn't think that orange suit was going to work on you with the blue shoes, but damn, Giorgio, you look all right.
I love Europe and the fact that they're so loose with their restrictions. I mean, you go to Vancouver and you walk out the door with your cocktail hand. They're so fascist about it. Oh, you can't do that. It's against the law. I mean, you know, when I was in Prague, people walk down the street with a can of beer, but nobody goes... irresponsible, and that's the problem here. Everybody goes, you let people do it, and they all go crazy, and they start burning police cars, and rioting and smashing. And
you're up there the one time.
Yes, I know. Got it on video.
I was at a bar here in Vancouver the other day, where there was an outdoor patio, and then the indoors, and there was a sign by the door to the outdoor patio that said, "No alcohol beyond this point."
Yep.
Oh, there was people out there with alcohol.
Oh. Well, that's good. That makes me feel good.
Yeah. It
gives me a warm feeling inside.
Oh, no, that's cancer.
Oh.
Yikes.
And sorry about the chair, Dave.
No. Yikes. It's all right. I've got three others I can replace it with.
You know what we're going to start doing?
I got afraid to ask after that comment.
No, I don't know.
What we're going to start doing is we're going to start recording the shows now. Like, we'll record them all the way through. But we're going to start them now. So it'll be like, hey, welcome to the Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
We're all
loosened
up.
Today we're going to be doing two Negronis. And stay tuned.
Let's then
we're going to get all quiet. People are listening. We're all quiet.
Yeah.
And gradually build to this.
Like drunk history.
Yeah.
This is the thing. It was funny because I was down at Clyde Common. I was talking to the bartender there. I was talking to one of them anyway, and so I said what we were doing, and she showed moderate interest. And she said,
"What's with most people?
Most people,
please comment."
So, but she said, "Oh, my boyfriend and I. What we want to do? We want to watch. Why are they drinking that? What it's going to be called? We're going to get drunk while we're watching movies where they're drinking stuff, and we're going to make fun of them. And it's going to be so great. We're going to just get really drunk." And I was at I had a theater meeting with somebody else this last week after I came back from Portland, and I mentioned what we're doing. They showed moderate interest before they came up with their idea for
our podcast. Is a springboard it for is. Everybody else's for everybody podcast.
Else, it's an inspiration, and that's
a
great.
Gateway podcast.
Yep. I said, I want to do one where, basically the same thing. We're going to watch really bad movies drunk, and we're going to get more and more drunk, and we're going to just talk about it while it's on. And I said, well, why does everybody want to do a podcast drunk? But clearly that's what we're doing, so I guess that's why.
Shh. What? Not at first, though.
Not at first. Mm. No. We started out sober as judges.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ends badly for everybody.
I don't understand. They were going to do a podcast about why are they drinking that?
Well, why are the people in the movies drinking that drink?
But has that ever been like the turning point of a movie where you said, oh, okay, pause it. They've got a blue drink in front of them. Now we've got to figure out why they're there?
Well, she's a bartender.
Yes.
So when she watches a movie and people are drinking, she doesn't know what's happening with anything else, but she's like, why are they drinking that? That wasn't made properly. There's no way they could have got that drink that quickly.
So it's
more of a niche for other bartenders to tune in on
that part of it.
I still can't. Even being in the industry, which I'm not.
No.
So I can't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd still think that the reason that they're having a drink is because the scene happens in a bar.
But maybe they shouldn't be drinking that drink.
Well, Why did they order that drink?
That doesn't make sense for their character.
Well, you know what? Now I want to watch a couple of movies and see if anybody actually even orders a drink. Or whether a drink just comes.
Yes.
Mm.
And whether or not it's in a cocktail glass or is it in a mug.
Well, next time you're down in Portland, drop in Clyde Common. And I'm sure she'll be happy to explain it.
Okay. Maybe now, she'll already be of 26 episodes.
She might already be out of there. You know, she'll quit her job and all she did were drunk podcasts. But I doubt it. But to be honest, by the time I heard that, it's only two drinks in, so I should have been okay.
You know what?
Nope.
We should have called this drunk podcast. If people were searching for drunk podcast, they would find us.
Sure.
Drunk podcast.
All right. We'll put that in the keyword search.
I think we should just buy it right now. Try drunkpodcast.com.
Yeah. Good luck. By the time you've heard this, we bought it.
Thanks, GoDaddy.
Yeah.
So it's the same drink, but it's a completely different drink. Do we have a preference between these two just for this evening?
I do. I go back to the classic. I like that. That's a neat trick. I'll never probably end up with a bottle of Suze liqueur. Suze.
I thought you ordered one.
No, I got the Sheena Sheena. I was going to order one, but I thought, well, we don't need two. You've got one. But apparently you're going to drink yours.
Well, the problem is, and this is a lesson for everybody, keep your vermouths and your lower alcohol stuff in the fridge and don't store it in the fridge for a year. You got to drink it. It's only good if you drink it. You got to treat it like a bottle of wine. You have to
go through
like
6 or 9 months, or maybe a year.
Yeah, no.
That's how long I keep mine in the fridge.
I know, and I've done some similar. Well, you can't keep wine. The lower the alcohol. But
what?
That's why I want you to drink straight vermouth. You got to use up your vermouth, dude.
All right. I'll be on it as soon as I get home. What's the breaking point? What's the cutoff?
I haven't got a definitive on the breaking point yet, but you got to, it has to be, I mean, what's regular wine is between 9% and 14%, I would say, most of the time. You might get up to a 16%, but Campari is a 25%. You got a little bit more storage life on that. This Martini Rosso is 15%.
Yeah, that stuff's good. That's deadly.
It's got to go.
Yeah, it's got to go.
Now, you could get like a vacuum sealer and maybe get the air out of it.
Well, I have the big the airlock.
Mm-hmm.
So
to get in and out of your...
Just to get in and out of the house.
See, a lot of people scoffed at him when he bought that old Russian space station.
Yeah, but who's laughing now?
That's right. Where are you going to put that Soyuz capsule?
I got all the space I need.
And this, the Sioux is 20%. What is the Lillet?
So my break point is...
17%.
My break point is 20. So if it's over 20, I don't worry about it. If it's under 20, then it's in the fridge.
Right. If it's over 20, worry a little bit about it. But drink it.
Oh, yeah, but I drink it as much as humanly possible.
I know, and that's why you get used to the over ice.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm just going to slot that in somehow?
Well,
it's
only 70% alcohol. How about before you go to work?
Oh, that's true.
Exactly.
Settle my stomach?
Yeah. How are you going to eat all them donuts at work if you haven't had some aperitivo?
Well, today it was mainly Timbits, but I hear what you're saying.
I just looked up drunkpodcast.com on GoDaddy, and it's ours for a mere $3,900.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a premium, I guess, because people type that in the search engine a lot. It seems odd that they would.
Oh.
However, the good news is you can get drunkpodcast.ca for $2.99.
Let's get it.
$2.99.
Right. Let's lock that sucker in.
Corner the Canadian market.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? So they've obviously, yes. So you're saying that they would base that on how many times that's been searched. Somehow GoDaddy knows.
It says premium domain names are more valuable than other domains because they're based on common words or phrases people often use in their online searches.
Interesting. All right, well, let's...
So,
if you guys go looking, we already got .ca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's ours.
That's ours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Any fact?
Drunkpodcast.gov?
Yeah.
Just a second. There's...
Here we go. Fred's got it. We're going to all register now.
Just sit on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, maybe we should buy it and then create a redirect to gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
Yes. I thought that's what we were doing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You're way ahead. See, he's why he's got the science degree.
Sure.
He's
way ahead.
Yeah.
Can I do that? Sure, I guess so. I would think so. I don't know.
Do I need to throw another bike on that?
We'll take care of that off the air.
Yeah, we don't want to buy the technical stuff.
Doesn't go up till Saturday, and every other Saturday after that, you can hear this. It's a regular occurrence. It's not random.
No.
This is random. Yeah, this is totally random.
And in fact,
yes,
I did get a verbal comment from somebody that wants us to do the Tom Collins. So I'm saying next episode, Tom Collins. And you, I look at you, microphone, to drive this point home. You can request this on our website, gentlemanofelegantleisure.com. There is a comment thing. Click on that comment thing and please leave us a comment so we know that somebody's listened to this.
All the hard work we put in.
Because we'll drink almost anything. I mean, we did the Pontoffel. Pontoffel?
Exactly. We had something with Irish whiskey and pickle juice in it based on a dare that we dared ourselves.
And
why don't you find a drink that you would like us to try on the air?
Yeah. But the Tom Collins? Sure.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these things, you know, you try a lot of this stuff in bars and you say, well, that's okay. But that's because it's not made properly. I mean, the Tequila Sunrise, made from the bar juice, is different from one made from scratch.
This is true.
You know, you've got the actual proper ingredients. It's a completely different drink.
Yes.
Not that we have to do the Tequila Sunrise. We should.
We should. And if you want us to, you have to request it.
Mm-hmm.
So leave us a comment on the website. Rate us on iTunes. The better it is, the better we are.
Is that our new motto?
That's our new motto.
What's it?
Ah, exactly.
Oh.
Write in what it is. We'll read your name on the air.
The better it is, the better we are. Oh, if only we knew what it was.
I know. Ha. It, this time around, is Negroni week.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and drink for a good cause.
Be brave. I mean, the Campari is not that expensive. Gin, everybody's got gin. Use it to, whatever, to...
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash.
My bathtub is full of gin.
Start your lawnmower. I mean, you've got gin. And the Martini and Rossi, if you don't have it, your parents, their bottle's probably 30 years old.
Exactly.
But it's not that expensive.
It's not that expensive, I mean, no.
To be honest, Campari and the... Rosso Vermouth. They're cheap. I hate to say cheap.
Yeah, that's rather they're economical.
They're certainly. I thought I would have easily paid twice as much. I wouldn't have paid twice as much. But
you would have.
I would have.
Because we had to do the show.
That's right. We had no choice. But I was expecting them to be a lot more than they were. So there's no excuse. You have to drink them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. Can you imagine having to buy something and drink it right away?
Oh, I know.
Talking to you, wine buyers.
Ouch.
Ooh.
He's a mean drunk, you know, that Jake.
I know. What about Paro?
Mean it's drunk. The bitters. If you put bitters in it, that brings it out in mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a mean drunk podcast. Yeah. Well, what's the only... That
domain is available.
But anyway, that's good. I mean, for me, the classic Negroni wins, but I'm sure glad I had this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, variations are great.
Yeah, I would never have... you know, even imagine having that. And it's different. It's just, if I was going to drink a whole bunch, I'd probably go for this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I wouldn't. I don't know.
I've had them both all the way along here. And I think there's something about a classic drink that makes it a classic drink. I think that staying power since 1919 indicates that something works.
Something's working.
Yeah. It outlasted the Spanish flu of 1919.
And that's my yardstick for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was an early treatment for the Spanish flu.
And what year did they throw the World Series? Was that 1919?
I think so.
Or was it 1920?
No, I think it was 19. It was the teens.
Yeah, it was the teens. Yeah.
But no, the white Negroni is nice. Don't get me wrong. But God, you know, if you can find Sue's liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you're a very lucky person.
That's right. You live in New York City.
Yeah. You should probably just get it and try a few drinks with it because you're only going to buy the one bottle in your lifetime.
I would try a bunch of drinks with it because it's only 20% and it has to go.
So I would buy it just for the fun of it. Yeah. I mean, what a great thing. You know, I mean, you think about it. You're getting a bottle of stuff from France with some botanicals in it that none of your friends have ever seen or heard of. And for the summer, you're going to be the hero.
Yes.
So if you have access to Suze,
we
get some. You can have a Negroni. Have a Negroni, you know, every other day of the week.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for Negroni week, don't make your own.
No.
No, go down to one of the fabulous establishments in your area, which you can probably find by going to...
NegroniWeek.com. I don't know if there's one around here or not.
No, but I'm going to go as soon as I get home.
It's in 42 countries. Hopefully it's one of yours. Angola. Then raise some money for a good cause and then go home and make it, like y'all did with your Harvey Wallbangers back in 1973, which is why you all have a bottle of ancient Galliano in the back of your cupboard.
Which I believe is high enough alcohol content that it's probably still good.
Incorrect.
Oh.
I opened up Mom and Dad's bottle.
Yes.
They've both been gone for a number of years.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, thanks very much. And thank you for all of the support, all the letters that came in. but it was probably, if it wasn't a 70s bottle, it was an early 80s bottle, which had been cracked and therefore was now no good.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes, because I compared it with a new one.
Yes.
And the new one tasted like magic. Mm. Oh, and the vintage one that had been cracked tasted like if you store toothpaste in your shoe and then run, vanilla through it. And then waited a while.
And then ran a marathon.
Yes. It wasn't that bad.
Uh-huh.
But when you could compare it. And this is that's the other great vermouth test, is the people that think that they have good vermouth. You think your vermouth's good? Go buy a new bottle of vermouth, open it, and then open the bottle that you have and taste the two of them. It's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's milk on the verge of turning versus milk when you first get it.
Yeah.
You know there's a difference.
That's right.
You could drink milk on the verge of turning, and you don't know any better to compare it. But it's not the same. And if you can get it right out of the cow, well, you're a farmer.
I used marginal vermouth for quite a while in my martinis, and it was okay.
You thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay.
Because you hadn't
had it. It didn't make it any worse.
No, I know, and this is the problem.
I mean, I was still pretty happy with the buzz I got from the vodka martini with marginal
vermouth. See, if you eat bad meat, you get sick. But if you had bad booze, if you got sick, you'd say, well, I probably had too much to drink of that bad booze. Yeah, but you wouldn't know that it was bad booze. You owe it to yourself.
Vermouth, buy the small bottle. If you're not using a lot, buy the small bottle. Mm-hmm. It's cheap.
If there's any takeaway, sorry, go on, I cut you off.
Nope. That's it.
Don't buy cheap toilet paper and drink all of your less than 20% booze.
That's a strange, strange analogy.
I'll play that back later.
Exactly.
Maybe that'll make
life's
more sense.
Life's too short for cheap toilet paper.
True.
Splurge.
But buy your Cinzano, your Martini Rosso, and use it. And then, if you don't think you're going to use a lot, buy the small bottle. But after a year, throw it out. Like your spices. Throw out your old spices. Your old hot... If your hot sauce is brown Mm-hmm. And you bought it when it was red. Mm-hmm. It may still be spicy.
Exactly.
But you probably shouldn't. Yes, exactly. Don't put it on your taco.
And this is Time Limit Theater.
Although, you know me, I'm all about,
Oh, I know, you're the awful. You'll melt a crayon in it. You don't care, you'll eat any damn thing you can get your hands on. Mm-hmm. Then they make this pepperoni. Eisenhower administration. I'm in.
I knew Eisenhower.
I voted for him when I was five.
If it was made while I was alive, I'm good.
Now, Dave.
Yes?
Do you... Or you don't?
Oh, I do.
All right,
I do have a quote.
But is this the final quote?
I don't know. I'm running out of good quotes to use, so this may be the final.
You're going to start using ones from the beginning?
Yeah, I'm going to start repeating them again. I don't know. I might have to brainstorm that. As chief creative officer, that's my department of
CCO.
That's right, the CCO. But this one is from Sean Hatfield. He's a writer.
And oh, so naturally, astronaut.
Yeah, no, astronauts don't drink, but writers.
Oh
my God! Right. They're into the sauce like you wouldn't believe. He says, "The more I drink, the better I write, and the more I write, the better I drink." That's kind of zen.
I gotta start writing more.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Write your story, Fred. Write.
My computer just crashed. It wiped out my hard drive. I lost all my Word documents.
Have you got a pencil?
Don't you back up your files?
Well, I did in 2013.
But you put it in Dropbox.
Well, I've got a new program. I'm going to be backing them up weekly.
Do you back up your files weekly?
Yep. You should, because I just lost a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what you got to do is you got to stick with that Windows XP.
Mr. Never Update.
Good point.
It's a very stable platform.
It is, yeah.
If it's good enough for the U.S. military,
yep.
It should be good enough for you. Right. Windows 10. Well, where's your Bill Gates now?
Well played, Mr. Dedrick. Well played. Mm.
Well, gents, we're clocking in at, what are we at? Well, we're well over an hour.
4 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's like a...
Thank you for sticking with us. Please, I beseech you, leave a comment. Let us know you're out there.
Now you're just begging.
I am begging. www.gentlemanofelegantleisure.com. There's a little the thing that says comments. Doesn't look... I've looked at it. I almost didn't want to click on it. I clicked on it to make sure it worked.
You know who I expect to make a comment?
Who?
Kate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kate?
Yep.
And you know who else?
Who?
Justin.
Yeah. Justin?
Justin, leave a comment.
Sure. You know, say you guys suck. I mean, we just beat the crap out of you next time we saw you, but you know, at least...
Oh, no, he's huge.
Oh, that's right. He's the big one.
Right. No, Kate.
Kate, oh, no, we'll take her.
Kate's days are
although she's a mom.
Oh.
She's got that.
Oh right, a mama bear thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, please.
Yeah,
anybody...
We won't. There's no violence involved. We really couldn't hurt a fly.
No, we could. We've been drinking.
So Fred, when you were in Portland, I hope you did the Gentleman of Elegant Leisure thing.
Yes.
And what do you do when you finish your cocktails and you
well, exactly.
want to reward your server for their fine service?
Sure, especially when you've been pestering them about how your podcast is. Yeah. There's only really one thing you can do when you're getting ready to go.
And what is that?
Well, there's just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You tip big.